mothers, would you just stand up for a moment, please? All the mothers, if you would just stand up. All the mothers, stand up. Let us look at you. Now you sit down and everybody else stand up. Now everybody else stand up, and can we just honor the mothers in the house today? October 11th at 4:30 in the morning, Joan Louise Palmisano became my mother. Amen. And I honored her today. She is retired and in Florida, enjoying life. And she likes white roses and lilies, so I sent her as many white roses and lilies as my American Express would allow me to give. So I honor her today. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that we ought to honor our mother and our father.
Amen.
And our days belong on the earth. This morning in your hearing, 1 Kings 3, 16 through 28 was read in your hearing. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, Lord. You are my strength and my redeemer. God, I ask that you would be with me and hide me behind the cross, that they may not see me, but they may see you glorified, that they may see you high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I went to the doctor on Friday evening. I've been cleared to preach, so I'm glad to be back, but they told me to take it easy for the next 4 weeks until this heart valve, these stitches heal up. Amen. So just pray with me. We're not going to do it. I'm just going to teach a little bit today. Is that all right? 1 Kings 3, 16 and 28. I want to read from the Amplified Bible. It is titled Solomon Wisely Judges. It says, then two women who were prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house. And I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. And on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth. And we were alone together. No one was with us in the house. It was just us two. Now this woman's son died during the night because she laid on him and smothered him. So she got up in the middle of the night, took my son from his place beside me while your maidservant was asleep, and laid him on her bosom and laid her dead son on mine. And when I got up in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I examined him carefully in the morning, behold, it was not my son, the one whom I had born. And the other woman said, no, for my son is the one who is living, and your son is the dead one. But the first woman said, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. This is how they were speaking before the king. And the king said, well, this woman says, this is my son, the one who's alive, and yours is dead. And the other one says, no, your son is dead, and mine is alive. And then the king said, you know what? Bring me a sword. So they brought him one, and he said, cut the child in two. Give one half to one woman and the other to the other half. And the woman whose child was living one, she spoke to the king because she was deeply moved for her son. And she said, oh, Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him. But the other one said, if you can't have him, neither can I. So cut him in half. And the king said, give the first woman who is pleading for his life the living child. Amen. And she is his mother. And when the people of Israel heard about the judgment which the king made, they were in awe and reverent, and they were reverent, and they feared him, for they saw that he had the wisdom of God, and it was with him, and it was within him to administer justice. I want to talk very briefly on true love prevails. Amen. Because it's Mother's Day, and you know, I don't like themes. I'd rather preach Jesus just every day of the week. I don't like themes. It's difficult for me to preach when I'm backed into a corner. Amen. Easter of resurrection is all right because we should be preaching that every Sunday. But so I struggled with trying to put something together, and this just makes sense to me. Amen. So just walk with me around this text. I believe every mother is anointed by God to walk in motherhood. And I want you to understand, I'm not saying that every woman who is a mother walks in this anointing, but I believe that the anointing is there for them, even if they choose not to receive it or walk in it.
Amen.
When I was a child, I'm not going to put all my dirty laundry out on the internet, but when I was a child, my grandparents, they took me out of the home. They took me out of the home, and my mother went where she was safe, and I stayed with my grandparents where I was safe. And my grandmother was essentially my mother. That is her picture. Amen.
Amen.
When I was growing up, I had a wonderful grandmother for intensive purposes, all intensive purposes. She was my mother. She raised me. And while she was living, I didn't fully appreciate or understand the anointing that rested on her as a mother and a grandmother. And even though I was grandma's boy and had a great relationship with her, it was a Friday on June the 10th, 1988. I was 14 and I was in school, and they called me out of class to go. They said that your stepmother is in the office waiting for you. And you know how stepmothers are. I wasn't crazy to hear that anyway, so I took my time walking as slowly as I possibly could, because I couldn't imagine why was she there. So when I saw her far down the hall, she was going, come on, come on. And you know I was 14, so I walked slower and slower. So when I finally got there, she said, it's your grandmother. We need to get down to the hospital. When we walked into Pocono Medical Center, I saw my grandfather, who was a strong, mighty man of God, about 6'1", with hands like a banner, standing there, and he said, I had never seen him waver, I had never heard his voice flicker, I had never seen him shed a tear. I saw him standing by the elevator with tears in her eyes, and he said, you just missed her. I'm sharing that to say I wasn't fully able to express my appreciation. For walking in the anointing of motherhood. I'm saying this today because some of y'all got mothers that you don't talk right to. I'm saying this because some of y'all don't have mothers that you don't go and get groceries for and make sure that her car is in good shape, and make sure that the grass is cut, and make sure that she has what she needs. So I'm talking to somebody, I don't know who it is, you don't even have to put your hand up, just receive it, amen? If she were alive today, I would tell her thank you. I would tell her thank you for the sacrifices that she made to ensure that I had an opportunity to live the life that I live today. I would tell her thank you. I would thank her for the times that she punished me for disobedience, ensuring that some temptations I didn't give in to. Amen. I would tell her thank you for not wanting to be my best friend, but wanting to make sure that I lived a life of integrity, that I would be able to, when the Lord put a calling on my life, I'd be able to step into that thing. See, I would tell her thank you. Someone needs to tell their mother thank you today. I would thank her for taking miscellaneous ingredients in the kitchen at any given time and making a meal fit for a king. I would tell her thank you for keeping me with her. I would tell her thank her. I would thank her for her prayers. I would thank her for her love, because they surround me even on this day. Amen. Because see, mothers ought to pray for their children's future right now. Amen. We are raising the future right now, and it is important that our mothers understand that it is time to step up, because you've got to pray some things off of your children in advance. Her prayers enabled me to get through school without giving up. Her prayers opened doors to healing for me when I was sick. Her prayers calmed me when I was scared and comforted me when I was hurting. And they showed me the love of God, which allowed me even right now to have a relationship with him.
Yes.
Somebody say mother.
Mother.
If your mother is alive, you ought to tell her thank you right now. Don't wait. See, I bury folks for a living. Amen. And I can't tell you how many times I watch folks try to pull their mama out of the casket. It's always the guilty ones that do the screaming and the hollering at a funeral. It's always the ones that didn't tell mother thank you that try to pull her out. Come on, yeah, act like you don't know. Y'all been to a funeral. It's always the guilty one making all the noise. If you honor your mother and father when they transition out of here, you will have a hurt that you've never experienced in your life, but you'll be able to tell God, thank you for my mother. Mothers, know this. If you're praying for your child to be saved, I want you to know that God has already answered your prayer. Understand, as soon as you prayed the prayer, see, there is a power in a praying mother. Amen. A cousin can pray for a cousin, but when grandmama or mama petition the Lord on behalf of their baby, I believe that God is sitting there ready, willing, and able. And when the prayer goes up, he immediately dispatches an angel to surround that child. I'm not saying that he won't stray, but the prayer is already answered. God will not override free will, but he will ensure that they know that they have a choice and that there's a God that loves them. Come on, somebody. Yeah. It doesn't matter how many times we say no, the angels of God will not give up, and they will still stand guard over our lives because my mother's prayers planted them at my side. Say amen, somebody. I would thank my mother for all the things that she did that I didn't even know about. Come on, somebody. With that said, I would hug her and tell her sincerely that I loved her, but I can't do that because she's no longer here. But see, God knows what we need and when we need it. And when my grandmother transitioned from here, Roberta Adams and Mary Johnson and Lucille Woody, they all came and they rallied around me and they continued to raise me up and lift me up. Come on, somebody. Let's talk about a mother's anointing. Just a few examples of how the anointing of motherhood is displayed in mothers who choose to walk in it. If we go back to the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis 21, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken unto him. Sarah waited almost 10 years for God to fulfill his promise to her. But she actually, if we're truthful, waited a lifetime, because Sarah always wanted children, didn't she? But see, there was an appointed time for her to specifically bring a son into the world. Now, I don't want to veer off, but I have a problem with abortion. And you should too, because it is appointed by God. God is the giver and the sustainer of life. Think about that. If Sarah had given birth to Isaac years earlier, Moses maybe would not have been born. Have you considered the impact of what would have happened if Isaac had not married Rebekah, even as she approached the age of 80? The desire was still there to be a mother. And she was close to 90 when she had Isaac, and that represented two miracles. First, she was actually conceived a baby in her old age, and second was that she still wanted a baby at the age of 90. Amen. There is something about a mother that we just don't understand, men. Amen, somebody. The desire is always there. Long after childbearing years are over, they won't be able to look at a baby without wanting to touch it, will they? Come on, somebody. It is a part of who God has called them to be. Somebody say, thank you for mothers. In this book, the first book of Kings, it records a story of two mothers who stood before Solomon, both proclaiming that the baby was theirs. And Solomon knew in his wisdom that the real mother would never allow that to happen. Solomon wasn't going to cut that baby in half. He knew that true love would eventually prevail. Amen, somebody. Amen. See, the mothers had no witnesses to collaborate either of their testimonies. If they had, the normal due process would have taken place. But because it was one word against the other, the matter was brought to the king. And Solomon, we know, had been given discernment by God to govern his people and to distinguish right from wrong. Amen. You ought to sit underneath somebody that knows right from wrong. Amen, walls. See, true love always prevails, and it was that true love that instilled faith in the life of a child. So here we read about it. Let's be honest. Who makes sure that the children are in church? Tell the truth and shame the devil. The mothers, don't they? Come on. Who generally spends time on the knees praying for their children? Come on, tell the truth. Who generally can be found in church and supporting the activities of the church? Somebody say the mother. We're not looking too good here, are we, men? This is because our society puts pressures on men, and we perceive that certain duties of a mother is only for them, amen? And on Father's Day, we're going to get ourselves kicked in the stomach because we have fallen short, amen, of what we're supposed to do. When God gives you the ability to hook up with somebody for a lifetime and you produce and bring into the world a child, your duty ought to be 50-50, amen? Yeah. We lay it on the couch and you washing dishes doesn't make any sense, does it?
Amen.
It's going to get quiet in here.
Glory to God.
True love always prevails. The love of a mother, there is nothing like it in the natural world. Think about it.
Amen.
How much does a mother love her child? How much compassion does she have? A mother's love is true, it's great, and true love prevails. But I want to ask you, when we think about how much a mother loves her child, those of you that are mothers, there is nothing that you wouldn't do for that child, isn't there? There is nothing, there is no length that you wouldn't go for that child, is there? There is no day or hour that you wouldn't get down on your knees and ask God for a favor over the life of your child, amen? But there is a man named Jesus. And we are all his children. So I ask you, how much more do you think it is that Jesus loves us when we think about how much our mother loves us? There's nothing like the love of God. It's called agape love. It is the true essence of love that God offers unconditionally. Come on, somebody. This love has the power to heal every heart. It has the power to heal every hurt and everyone it ever comes in contact with. It can scale the highest mountain. I'm talking about God's love. It will descend into the lowest valley or sea. There is no place that it has not already arrived before you get there. See, you ought to be honest with yourself. When we hit rock bottom, the love of Jesus is already there to kissing our fall. When we get too high up, his love is there to remind us you ought to not think more of yourself than you should. God's love is true. The Bible says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I am nothing but the sound of a creaking, rusty old gate. So how smart are you? No matter how intelligent you sound, if you don't love, you are just making noise. You can speak, you can preach, you can make folks happy, you can make folks fall out and shout, you can play until the windows shake, you can sing until the speakers fall off the wall, but if you don't love one another, you're just making noise, and it means absolutely nothing. God is love. If we speak God's words with power and we're able to reveal all his mysteries, making everything as plain as day, and if I have faith that says a mountain move and the mountain moves, but I don't love, the Bible says I am nothing. It doesn't matter how well I preach. It doesn't matter what this robe looks like. If I don't love you, I am nothing.
Amen. Come on now.
The Bible says if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I do not love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I am bankrupt without love. Amen. We get so caught up in material things. We think that we need to have this kind of car. We need to live in this kind of house, in this kind of zip code, in this kind of neighborhood. And we're always chasing after a dollar because we think that who we are is based on what our bank account looks like. And we forget about people and we forget about loving on folks. If we don't love in all of that stuff that we have run and chased after, it means nothing. There is nothing like a mother. She will give up her own stuff to make sure that her child will not go without. See, that is true love. All the stuff that we work for and chase for down here, when you die and you leave here, your family gonna come in, they're gonna fight over your stuff, they're gonna clean out your money, they're gonna drive your car till the inspection run out of it, they're gonna sell your car, your house to the lowest bidder. All the things that you worked for, the things that you thought were necessary, it all means nothing. Love never gives up. Are you fighting the good fight of faith? Come on, we're talking about love today. How many have a mother that loved them? How many had a good mom? Come on. Well, you know, some people say like this, but you know, I really believe that your parents, I believe in my spirit that they did the best that they could do. Now, their best may not be the best that somebody else had, but it was the best that they could do on general terms. We're talking about love today. Love never gives up. Are you fighting a good fight of faith? Love cares for others more than itself. So what does your love life look like? Can people look at you and see that you care more for others than you do for yourself? Or do they look at you and think that you're selfish? Love doesn't have what it doesn't have. Are you focused on the right thing today? Come on, somebody. Love doesn't strut around. So I ask you, what does your walk look like? Love doesn't have a swelled head. The Bible says don't think more of yourself than you ought to. Love doesn't force itself on others. True love draws folks in. It doesn't push them away. How many folks been pushed away by the church? Come on. There should not be a hand up in the house. But how many folks have been pushed away by the church? Love doesn't push away. It draws in. Come on, somebody. It draws. It doesn't push. And when we think about what the Bible says, the Bible was talking about Jesus when he was on the cross. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. An ultimate sacrifice, an ultimate love. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Where the truth is, that's where love is. Amen. Love puts up with a lot of stuff. It always trusts God. It always looks for the best. And it never looks back. Come on, somebody. But it keeps going on. With love comes strength. With strength comes faith. With faith comes power. With power comes commitment. With commitment, you will run on for a little while and see what the end is going to be. Amen, somebody? The Bible says that God so loved the world. And I believe we should put our name through Scripture. God so loved Pastor Tim. God so loved Deacon Mills. God so loved Henrietta. God so loved Brother Tay. God so loved Sister Pat. Say it. God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believes on him shall never die. Did you get that? That's the ultimate love. And I think that our love is lacking in certain areas. I wish I felt a little better. I would preach to y'all today. But love, it keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. I believe that when we ate the apple in the garden and we separated ourselves from the Lord, I believe that's when the first conversation of love probably popped up. I believe that conversation went well. They have just done something that they can't come back from. And what are we going to do now? What are we going to do? How are we going to redeem them? And I believe it was Jesus that said, well, I love them so much, I will go down and I will sacrifice my life for them. I will go down and I will let them do to me what they think that they're going to do. I will let them whip me. I will let them beat me. How many of you would take a beating for one of your children? Come on, somebody. How many of you would allow yourself to be crucified in place of one of your children? Tell the truth in here. Is there one that would go to the ends of the world for your child? But when it came down to it, when they said it's your life or theirs, what would your decision be? But Jesus said, I will go down and redeem man because I love them that much. I will go down. And see, when God came, God allowed him to go. He came down through the generations. He was born in a manger. He left a perfect place of peace to come down here and dwell among the heathen. He came down, and at the age of 13, he started teaching in the temple because it was all about love. At any given time, he could have went back to his father. At any given time, he could have sat down and said, you know what? I have had enough. And when the time came for him to be crucified, they whipped him and they beat him all night long. They spit on him. He was unrecognizable. But see, there was a thing in there called love. He said, I've got to go because I know that Pastor Tim is going to fall short. I've got to go because I know that Brother Zach doesn't have it all together. I've got to go down there because I love them so much. I want to make sure that they have the right and the gift of eternal life. It was love. It was love that led him down Calvary's mountain. It was love that when they hung him high and they stretched him wide, it was love that allowed him to say, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. It was love for him to say, into thine hands I commend my spirit, because the flesh would have said, I'm going to call my daddy and he can send down here a team of angels and get me off of this cross. But see, it was love that kept him there. It was love that kept him hanging on the cross. It was love that stopped him from dying to save a thief on his right side. It was love that stretched him high. It was love that hung him wide. And it was love that allowed him to give up the ghost. It was love. He loved us so much, he went down into a place called Sheol. He went down because there were people that had died before he came. He loved us so much, he went down into the pit to ensure those that had died before him, it's all right. By the way, I have paid your debt. Your sin debt is canceled. You don't have to stay here. I am coming back to rapture the church. And when I come back, those that have died in me are going to rise first. That is a blessing. You've got love. Come on, somebody. You've got an inheritance. You've got a promise of a soon to come again king. And when he comes and when he cracks the sky, the Bible says every eye's going to see him. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that that is Jesus. And if you live right and die right, you will on that day, you will resurrect right. It was love. There was a song that says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from a peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. Somebody say, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and out of the waters he lifted me, and now safe, safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Family, don't you know love is all you need? We get hooked on the Ten Commandments, but if you love one another, all those ten don't, they're not even an option for you. We pick one thing and beat folks up on it instead of just saying, you know what, we got to love each other. If I love you, amen, I can talk to you about some stuff and you won't get offended. If I treat you like garbage and then I try to tell you you're out of order, you're not going to receive anything from me. But if we walk in love, if we walk in grace, if we just let folks know, you know what? We're all struggling down here, but we're trying to be the best version of us that we can be. If we love one another, we can come together as a family and we can say, you know what? You know, that don't look right. That don't sound right. Come on, let's get together. See, if we learn to love folks, the church would be full. Amen. If we learn to love folks, we wouldn't have to be outside raising money to try to buy this or that or the other. If we love folks, the church would be full. If we love folks, we would have to go buy some more chairs. If we learn to just put aside our differences and put aside those things that don't look like that don't look like Jesus, that don't sound like him, that don't smell like him, and just love on him, it will draw people in. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. 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 Love lifted me. Don't you know that sometimes folks just need a smile from you? Sometimes folks just need a hug from you. Sometimes folks just need you to say, hey, I'm glad to see you today. It's not so complicated. We make stuff so extra. Just be nice to people and stop getting up so high and mighty and forgetting that by the grace of God, there go I. Stop talking about people. Stop looking at folks funny and just love on folks and God will do the rest. Love folks like your mama loved you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Love, it never fails. It's pure. It's a good thing. And Solomon knew it. Because you know when there's two, there's trouble.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So when he stood before these two women, he already knew who the baby belonged to.
Yeah.
He already knew because your walk doesn't match your talk when you don't love. Amen?
Amen.
See, you say things like cut the baby in half. She should have stayed quiet. Amen? She might have had half a chance if she had just stayed quiet. But instead, she showed who she really was and she showed how much love she didn't have. She said, cut the baby in half. And Solomon said, give the baby to her. Because that is her child. Amen?
Amen.
Does your love match your walk? I'm asking a question. Are you bold enough to raise your hand and say, yes, it does? Does your love match your walk? Do your fruits match the heart? Does your harvest match that which you have sown? Come on, somebody. You ever meet somebody, they've been broke? They've been broke for the last 10 years? You ever meet somebody, they have no changes in their life? Have you ever met someone and you know what's going to come out of their mouth before they talk? It's because they've been mean for 10 years and they're going to stay mean. And then when they die, I got to stand over them and find something nice to say? That don't make sense. It's time to put stuff down. It's time to get real. It's time to build the kingdom because Christ is soon to come. The Bible says that he is coming back, and he is coming back for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. He is coming back for a church without a blemish. So if you're a spot, you need to get washed up real good. If you're a wrinkle, you need to get with Dr. Jesus and get your stuff ironed out and get your stuff worked out because God is sending his son back here very soon. And I ask you, when he comes back, how will he find you? Will he find you working? Will he find you in the house? Will he find you loving on folks? Or will he find you in someone else's bed? Come on, somebody. Where will you be when he comes back? Will he find you in the bar? Will he find you in fornication? Will he find you with gossip on your mouth? Will he find you with slander on your tongue? Will he find you with your work undone? Or will he find you loving on one another? It's a love thing. It's a love thing. If you've got a mother and she loved you, you ought to tell God thank you because she has already prayed you out of situations that you never even imagined would come into your life. Because somebody was saying, cut him in half. Somebody was saying, cut him down. Somebody was saying, talk about him. Somebody was saying, make a phone call and talk about her past. Somebody is always trying to tear somebody down. But see, your mother has already sent out some prayers in advance and dispatched an angel to sit in the middle of the problem and you. Amen. You ought to thank God for the love of a mother, because those prayers have stopped things coming to you that you never even knew were on the way. So on today, I say thank you for love. I say thank you for a mother's love. I say thank you for a grandmother's love. And you ought to do the same. Say thank you.
Thank you.
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 A mother's love. God, we thank you for a mother's love. As we open the doors to this house, every head bowed, every eye closed, let us stand to our feet. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the full pardon of your sin, the doors are open. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, we invite you to walk at this time. We will pray with you. We will pray for you. If you've backslidden and need to rededicate your life, now is the time. Now is the time. Come at this time and give the pastor your hand and the Lord your heart. We stand ready, willing, and able to walk with you. Tomorrow isn't promised. All we have is right now. You're looking for a place to call home, but the Lord has led you into this branch of Zion. You want to unite with this fellowship. Come on down and we'll be glad to be with you. We'll be glad to walk with you. If you need special prayer, you may come for anointing at this time. I see you, my sisters. Is there another? Thank you. adding to the kingdom. We are pleased to have the Banks family here united with this house, and we have three candidates for baptism. Amen. So that will be 21 folks that have gone down under the water. Amen. That's 21 that the devil didn't kill. Amen. All right. Make sure you give your information to Sister Deborah before you go. Amen. All hearts and minds are clear. All right, let us stand to our feet and grab the hand of your neighbor. Most gracious God, our Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your visitation of the Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for being sovereign. We thank you for being simply God. Lord, I thank you for being with me. I thank you for guiding me. I thank you for continuing to walk beside me as I physically heal from this thing. So God, I thank you in advance, and I claim it as already done. God, as we prepare to leave this place but never your presence, we ask traveling mercies on these thy people. God, we thank you for 46 North 13th Street. God, we thank you for this place called Restoration Temple. God, and while we're on this side, we promise to give you all the praise, give you all the honor, give you all the glory that a God such as you is due. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, and to him alone who is able to present you faultless before his throne, to the only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, henceforth, now, and forevermore. Let us sing together, praise God.